Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Holton.
Hey.
JT just waves at me. I like how that works. And that's Josh Rhubarb Brown. Josh, how are you, buddy?
Good evening. I'm doing pretty well. How are you guys?
Good evening. Good evening. I'm okay. It's been a week. Are you guys okay? We're off to like the slowest, clunkiest start of a Knockoma Nation episode in at least 2 weeks. So, yeah.
It's cold outside, Ken. I think it has a lot to do with the weather.
It's freezing.
Ah. Josh is shriveled and cold. That's probably where I should leave that at. Yeah, so fellas, let's kick things off with a bang. Ryan Reynolds and the guy from Everybody Loves... It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I almost said Everybody Loves Raymond. Like, that's not even the right show. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, right? They bought a football team in Europe. A soccer team. Okay.
Soccer, right.
And it's Wrexham soccer club. Goodness, Wrexham. I'm struggling.
Hardly know him.
Wrexham. Ryan Reynolds, though, known from Deadpool fame and his hilariousness. He's actually very, 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 very rich, it turns out.
Did you say known for his hilariousness?
He's pretty funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's kind of funny.
Okay.
Do you not follow him?
I think Ryan Reynolds, his tweets are hilarious.
Yeah, he's a funny
really
guy.
Funny tweets. You know, I recently started watching. The show Schitt's Creek, and I realized where Josh gets half his personality is David from Schitt's Creek.
Nice,
David, the heterosexual version.
David.
Yeah.
I connect with David a lot.
A lot. And so Ryan Reynolds, he recently sold his stake in Aviation Gin. You guys familiar with Aviation Gin? Ryan's been pimping Aviation Gin for a couple years now. He just sold it for $436 million.
Didn't know that.
Which seems like pretty smart move. So anyway, he bought a fifth level football club. So like this would
soccer.
Be like not...
Soccer.
Not
the, Stop saying football. You okay, un-American
soccer.
Fart knocker. Soccer.
So he bought this football club.
Soccer.
And
he bought this soccer club. We're not calling it football on the Knockoma Nation podcast show. Okay? It is
okay,
soccer.
You don't have to call it football. So, anyway, there's the top division of football.
Soccer! It's called soccer, Ken! Okay? Okay? Just because we don't know who the fucking president is and socialism is about to take our lives over doesn't mean you have to come on this podcast and say football when it's soccer.
Okay, I'm sorry, Josh. So there's the first division of football, the second division of football, the third division of football, the fourth division of football. Then you get to the fifth division of football. I think Josh has left the show. Anyway, and that's where Wrexham is at. JT. So, like, in American terms, first of all, help me understand, like, what level of the minors is this?
So, from an American, like, football standpoint, or?
Well, like, any sports. I'm just trying to, like, put into reference how far down.
This would be, in Macon, Georgia, we used to have a minor league arena football team.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
My friend Brian was their kicker, actually. You know, minor league arena ball seems like you know, I'm not here to knock the Macon Knights. I went to many a game, and it was a fun time. That seems like pretty far down. Like, you should probably give up on your dreams of NFL stardom if you're playing for the minor league arena football team.
But here is the great thing about European football / soccer, and that is this. You can raise your rank, JT. You can move from a fifth division club to a fourth division club. And if you win, you can move to a third division club. If you win, you can move to a second division club. If you win enough, you can become a first division club. Now, that's kind of insane, but it happens all the time. If you're a first division club and you really suck, you drop down to what they call relegated, and you get kicked out of the Premier League or the Championship. It's the Champions League, and then like Premier League, and then
Premiership. I think it's
Premiership. Okay, Premiership. Anyway, you get kicked down and relegated, which I think would be a great idea, and I think like more American sports should consider relegation and like moving up and down. I think it'd be more interesting, but.
Like if we send the New York Jets to the CFL.
There you go. There you go. Like all take the four suckiest NFL teams, kick them out, and bring in the four best XFL teams.
Or we take Georgia's quarterbacks and just shoot them into the sun. Would that be relegation
I don't think that's quite the same thing. Oh. Just saying. I don't think that's quite the same thing. So anyway. It's like basically owning a team that's slightly bigger than a high school football team, and there's probably high school football teams that draw a much larger crowd than Wrexham does. But there's the opportunity that they could grow and get better talent and make themselves a better football team. So here's the question I have and why it's coming up on the Knock Elimination Podcast show, why I think this is important. If Josh and JT could purchase an equivalent level team in the United States or abroad, what team would you purchase?
I'd purchase abroad.
Saw that coming. Anyway, what team would you purchase and why? Like, Josh is wearing a Danville Braves hat. That feels like about the same size as the Wrexham football team.
So what like small entity sports franchise correct would I purchase?
Yes, correct. And especially if like we're maybe in an imaginary world. Imagine like relegation and promotion could happen within whatever, like whether it be baseball,
so it's
gotta
be
or
like
whatever
pro,
sport.
The players, you know, get paid, but on a smaller
sure
scale. Probably sure. Auburn Tigers football.
Well, they get paid on a much higher scale, Josh. It's not a lower scale.
Okay.
Yeah, you can afford that.
They have to have a lower salary than the good comparison. Lower salary than the Tampa Bay Rays.
I purchased the Macon Bacon. I'm already the unofficial mayor of Macon.
Oh.
They play in historic Luther Williams Field, as seen in the movies 42 and Trouble with the Curve. Great mascot. Their mascot, the Bacon, is named Kevin. And he's gotten a shout out on social media from the real Kevin Bacon.
That's amazing.
I feel there's a lot of marketing ideas there. Yeah. Their alternate team, they had to have an alternate team because of COVID this year, was the Eggs. So they had the Bacon and the Eggs.
Oh, nice.
So it was pretty cool. So I think there's a lot of movement here. I'd stick at hometown, stay here, making born, making bread. And you could come have beers with the owner of the team at a game. I think that's a kind of cool thing that you can't do in a lot of places.
Would you try to make the team bigger? In the sense of, would you want them to be like a pro, like eventually reach the pro level?
I would make them bigger in the ways that, like, remember when Ricky Henderson was like 48 and was playing for like the Long Island Ducks?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we'd take guys that, like, still thought they could play.
So,
offer you a deal.
So Juan Francisco's playing for you right now.
Willie Mopena's at first base. Francisco is out there.
Yeah, you got Julio is your...
Julio Franco at 75 years old will be about in cleanup.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay.
We'll take it, if you retire from MLB, well, hey, man, you want to retire? Well,
hey, I got...
You know, play for 3 months with us, Hunter Pence.
I got we'll a DH. You, I got a DH for you.
Yeah.
Manny Ramirez.
He'd do it. I got a guy that has a hookup with like steroids.
And yeah,
he could be right up his alley. He would.
What,
do
what
it.
About? I know your closing pitcher too, JT.
Oh yeah, Macon's own.
Macon's own, John Rocker.
Yeah, John Rocker. Yeah,
he, I mean,
he's no stranger to independent let's ball
get,
himself.
And so people don't think like there's some weird racial thing going on with John Rocker being on the team. Let's get Marvin Freeman, and they can be your bullpen and your you're right side by side. Marvin Freeman, and then Ryan Klesko is
personal friend.
Is he manager personal or player?
Oh, he's dude. Ryan Klesko could still pass for 30 years old.
I don't
today.
Know, man. He after great. He lost his niscus, I'm not. After he's lost his niscus, I'm not sure Ryan can still get out there. You know,
I'm not going to tell he's a large human. I'm not going to tell him he can't do anything.
That's true.
I think there's a market there of just taking old Braves players and signing them. And be like, hey, we'll pay you $30,000 this year just to come out and play a few games. Basically, it's like a beer league softball
sure.
kind of deal. You know, but who wouldn't want to see Mike Hessman take a few cuts?
Well, I mean,
you know
I'd love to see some crappy old Braves that nobody remembers. Chipper Jones? Like, that dude.
Who's ever heard of him?
Yeah, he's not even the best Braves player to ever play third base. We now have the one and only Freddie Freeman. That's the greatest Braves third baseman of all time. Josh, on to you. What small market team would you be purchasing? And what would be your plans?
I would purchase the Sioux Falls Canaries in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay, that's cool.
Because South Dakota is the most Republican insulated state, to my knowledge, at least. And so it would be the safest from being tainted by liberalism, socialism, and Marxism. And so I would change the name, though, probably to like the Sioux Falls Asymptomatic Relegators, maybe something like that.
What if you called it the Sioux Falls Chewing Tobacco Company name? Like, fill in the blank. Like, Sioux Falls...
Redman.
Redman. There you go. That way it's completely slightly offensive and simultaneously fans of Chewing Tobacco.
Yeah, I could do that. Or the Sioux Falls Scalpers and then have Redman be a sponsor. Or I don't know.
Okay.
Or just, like, the Sioux Falls... Indians, and then just have, you know,
Red Man be the sponsor.
Yeah, red face, yeah. Anything, and then like the mascot would be
the mascot could be a tobacco store Indian, like you know the little Indian like they got in all the tobacco
yeah,
stores.
I mean, that could be a logo or a fixture at the park, but the actual mascot would probably a white guy with like red paint on his face, something like that.
Okay, gotcha. All right, so what would be your goal with this team? Are you wanting to make it like a larger team and be like impactful in the Major League Baseball arena? Yeah. Or are you liking the small market team? Like, what's your plans with this team?
Small
Josh?
Market team, affordable, you could smoke if you want to smoke. There's no smoking sections. Beer.
But only cigars, right? Like we're not just packing away the six.
Yeah, probably just cigars.
24 packs,
I guess.
Of Camels,
but if
right?
but if okay. somebody busted out a, you know, like a Marlboro Red, he's not gonna be in trouble. You know, it'll just be a little frowned upon. But, you know, yeah, just make money, bring it back to the 80s.
What if we had like a post game rodeo? Post game rodeo.
Yeah,
in Sioux
we
Falls.
Could do a post game rodeo.
Sounds like a good plan
on the infield.
Yeah, and then I think you need I think all of your concession stands workers females,
all of them,
like
females,
the ones selling popcorn, beers,
short
females,
skirts,
right?
You know,
if there's a Sioux Indian female that loves a beer,
Elizabeth Warren is
exactly
is
she's
bound
to be involved here at some point.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
You know what? Because you're going to be so inclusive of women, Josh, I bet you could get Kim Ng to come and be your general manager.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe, but like I just
you'd be a bigger you would have a greater fan audience than the Marlins.
The laundry would be done
like,
all the time.
Like see, no question.
The players would have lots of sandwiches, so that'd be good, but I mean, would she spend money frivolously? You know what I mean? I'd have to really watch her spending. If I did
know
if hire
she would
her.
Be getting the team's breaks done though, Josh. It would be like, you know.
Oh, that's true.
You could hire a guy to do that part. Just saying. Anyway, yeah. I like it. I like it, Josh. I think both of you guys are onto something here that could really revolutionize minor league ball. And
I don't know why we haven't done the store stuff before.
Yeah, I think it's money, to be honest. I think that's the main thing. Kristi Noem's going to have to throw out your first pitch, though, Josh, because not only is she hot, she's the governor there. And, yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Think you'd be all right.
That's fine with me. Yeah.
Well, I guess we should talk a little Braves baseball. Freddie Freeman finally wins an MVP, fellas. Frederick, I pretend to be from Canada.
Did you guys?
But I'm actually from California, Freeman. But that's okay. Who almost died of COVID to start the year. He wins the whole thing. We said he would, but
did you guys cry about it and tweet about it?
JT did. He didn't tweet.
I didn't tweet about it. I love the video the Braves did. I mean, Hank Aaron makes a video saying how proud he is of you. That I'd retire on the spot, man. That's the coolest thing. All the the MVPs, the Gold Gloves, Silver Sluggers. Probably a Hall of Fame plaque when it's all said and done. Hopefully a World Series. Man, I think I'd take the video from Hank Aaron above all of that. You know, like that. That'd be something cool. I would, keep forever.
I'd take the
and
money
ever, if that was me.
That's fine.
Well, the money is nice, and he's about to get paid. Again,
a lot
I
of it.
Pretty soon.
He's up for an extension or something.
Yeah, he's got a year left on his deal. I'd imagine.
Trade him. Would you trade him?
No.
What would you get? What would you get for Freddie Freeman right now?
What would I give Freddie Freeman? I would give him.
What would you get for him?
Mike Trout.
What would you get for Freddie?
Or what
Freeman?
Could you get for Freddie Freeman right now?
One year of Freddie Freeman as a first baseman. I mean, you could get some good players.
Yeah, I guess.
But I mean,
mind.
I don't think
like 1 year.
It wouldn't be.
He would just re-sign with Atlanta once he's a free agent. So.
Yeah. So look, Mookie Betts got Boston a whole lot.
Right.
Like, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. But Mookie Betts also plays outfield. So it's a little different positionally because you can get somebody that plays first base that hits pretty well. They're not going to be Freddie Freeman, but it feels like a spot. First base feels like a place that's easier to get good hitters that are maybe sucky on defense. You know what I'm saying? Whereas right field, left field, center field, those positions, not as easy to get somebody that's all around really good like Mookie Betts. I don't know. I still think you could get a lot for him, but I don't. There's no way it's happening. And I think it's cool that he's brave.
And that's the thing, too. It's almost like when Chipper's contracts would be up. No one ever had any fear of him leaving. And I don't think anyone's remotely concerned that Freddie Freeman is leaving.
I think the only way that it makes sense would be if Atlanta sucked. Like if Atlanta sucked right now, Freddie Freeman would be gone. Like if this were 4 years ago and Atlanta's sucking and in the middle of a rebuild a la Craig Kimbrell, I think Freddie could be gone. I think they could let him just like walk right out the door, get a big package for him. And then if they were worried about it, sign somebody back, but I don't think they are. And
I mean,
and I think this is a team that's ready to win.
He thinks he's Canadian, Just trade him.
Trade him to Toronto for like three or four of those players.
Exactly. Trade him to Toronto.
Why do you hate Freddie Freeman, Josh?
I think he's boring. I think he's boring. I think he looks like a.
He's definitely boring.
I think he looks like a granddaddy long leg. Like his legs are like 6 feet tall and his upper body is like.
But you liked Fred McGriff, who was all of the exact same things.
No. Fred McGriff had great dimples, first of all. Love the way he wore his hat, number two. And he was well proportioned. He didn't have.
Yeah, but he was boring. Fred McGriff was a boring guy. Like, let's be honest. He was super, like, straight laced, never got in trouble, never said anything out of the way. Like, he was boring in that respect. And he ran funky. Yeah. He was like super. He looked like he'd had a board driven from his anus all the way through the top of his head.
Deeper than just
and like
boring.
He ran like just, all stiff.
It's not just boring. It's more like it's like Freddie's just like a. He's just.
I think you don't like him because he's white.
Is that why?
Freddie Freeman isn't white. Freddie Freeman is clear. He's not.
Yeah. He's
white.
Like pasty.
I just don't like.
And to Josh's
like
credit.
Canadians.
Tom Emanski never called Freddie Freeman to plug his defensive skills videos. You know, these
that
are the instructional
true.
Videos. Get results.
That is true.
That was Fred McGriff. Yeah. No, Freddie. But I think we really need. We got to appreciate Freddie Freeman.
He's all right.
How many guys playing right now that are stars are going to be with their team their entire career. Like, I think
probably Brave two
for his entire career.
Welcome to 2020. Nothing matters. It's all a business. Doesn't matter.
Well, you say welcome to 2020, but I mean, off the top of my head, I can't think of very many that were with one team. Tony Gwynn, Cal Ripken. I mean,
Chipper Cheater. Jones.
Yeah, Chipper. I mean, you know, Mariano.
Frank Thomas.
Frank Thomas played with the Blue Jays.
Oh, did he? Okay, I didn't remember.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I forgot about
that. It wasn't great, but he ended up other places. So, I mean, it's not like, and this has been a long term, and that's true across most sports. I mean, it's just economics. Usually guys suck so much that eventually, you know, they get old and they get traded.
I will say this. I do give, like, I give a pass to guys like Smoltz. I still consider Smoltz a one-team guy, even though he did go and play for other teams.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, he pitched his entire starting career with the Atlanta Braves. Like, even Tom Glavine, like, I still consider him, like, a one-team guy. You know, like, I get he went and pitched for the Mets for one more year at the end of his career, but he's still a guy that pitched, like...
He's not a one-team guy for me. Did Ken...
Tom Glavine definitely pitched for the Mets more than one year.
Yeah, he did. And he left for the Mets for more money.
But regretted it immediately and tried to come back, according to his
book.
I
don't care. He's dead to me.
Tried to come back.
Whatever.
But even Mets fans will tell you Tom Glavine's brave.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Hey, Ken.
But, yeah, I mean, for me, what did you guys say while I was going? I'm sorry. I totally missed up.
Oh, we were saying that, yeah, I think even Mets, even, yeah.
I don't believe you for a minute.
Even Mets fans really consider Tom Glavine brave.
Yeah,
I mean, he pitched there a few years, and it's still, you know, I mean, he's brave.
Do you guys consider Greg Maddux a brave?
Yes.
I do too, but I wonder if other people do.
That's a difficult conversation, because I have a hard time accepting him into my heart as a brave when he can't accept that he's a brave.
Yeah, I get it. You know? I get it.
Like I think Greg Maddux... I think there's something that we don't know, or some things that we don't know that have happened between him and the front office or something, because there's no reason, okay? There's no reason why he's not involved in anything Braves related throughout the years ever. And that's not me overanalyzing things, I don't think. It's obvious he's never around. Connection to the Atlanta Braves. And I want to know why. And if it's the Braves' fault, then that's fine. But I think Greg Maddux is first of all, Greg Maddux is maybe the best pitcher of my lifetime. Maybe the second best. If I don't know, Roger Clemens, Pedro Maddux, kind of those three. But he's a freaking snobbish, all about the money, Yankee douchebag. That's what I think of Greg Maddux.
Let me throw this out there.
He lives in Nevada.
I was going to say, I don't think Yankee part works.
It does. Yankees are from Nevada.
Okay.
They didn't find the war.
Let me say this. I think Greg Maddux is the original Trevor Bauer.
I think Bauer has a little more humility.
Not at all.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
No.
I don't think
no,
Bauer.
No, I think Bauer... Bauer thinks he's the best pitcher in baseball and that he worked hard enough to get there, and I think he thinks everybody else is like 10 levels below him.
I kind of agree with that, actually, but I don't think they're that much alike personality-wise.
I think they both play baseball, and the team that they play for was the Greg Maddux team and the Trevor Bauer team.
I think Maddux is more selfish.
In Maddux era, they get money from the – like, you weren't getting one-year deals for giant amounts of money in Maddux era.
Yeah,
you know,
sure,
now,
sure.
Teams kind of like that, you know.
Yeah.
But the Cubs – I like, do I think Greg hated being a Brave? No, I don't think he did.
I don't think he did either.
I think a lot of baseball players are this way, though, where they're not playing for the Braves. They're playing for Chipper Jones. They're playing for Freddie Freeman. They're playing for – Greg Maddux. And I'm not saying every name I just named right there is that, but I'm just saying I think there's a lot of players that are playing for themselves, not playing for their team. Does that make sense?
Of course, and especially pitchers, just given their role and their job duty. Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. I think Greg Maddux is just a guy that enjoys living away and doesn't really care for the sentimentality of it all.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know, he's not going to come out for an old timer's day and do, you know, I mean, I think here's a guy who is kind of has a little Sandy Koufax in him, you know, and likes him being off the map, doesn't really care about all that other stuff. Because he came out for his, well, obviously he was there for his jersey retirement, and he came out for Bobby Cox's. But he's not a guy that's just going to come out every time there's a old-timer softball game after the, you know what I mean, in the spring.
So maybe, you know, he's not gonna do this. Maybe I had the wrong guy. Maybe Greg Maddux was the original Zach Greinke.
Kind of a weirdo, yeah.
Now I think he's closer to Bauer than Greinke, because Greinke, I think Greinke is autistic. Yeah,
I think he's on the spectrum a little bit. but really,
that's not even me joking.
Greinke has a quirky sense of humor. Now Maddux was a little more like schoolboy stupid humor.
Yeah.
But Greinke, he does have humor. It's just super dry and really weird.
I don't know, man. I think he might have Asperger's.
Yeah, but I still think he has some humor about him.
I don't know.
Like, I think he's on the Asperger scale somewhere. Probably.
I think the best comparison for Greg Maddux to me is the anti-macho Roger Clemens.
Yeah.
If you took everything about Roger Clemens and just sucked the testosterone out of it and the steroids and the...
Because Maddux was a jock.
Bleach my tips and crank up. Yeah. And crank up the Nickelback and I drive a lifted truck. Greg Maddux was that, but he drove a Toyota Tercel and wore a turtleneck.
So did you just imply that Greg Maddux is Roger Clemens' wife? Anyway, I don't know.
He's just a mild-mannered Roger Clemens. But when the lights come on and he's competitive, he is just, you know.
And let me just say, I love Greg Maddux. And I'm being silly, but I think something happened. I've always thought that. Something happened between him and the Braves. Something happened. I really think something happened. Or whether it was money, a contract, he wanted to come back. They didn't want to. I don't know. I don't know what it was. Because I get that he's kind of a loner, and that's kind of cool. And I see that, but there's a difference in being a little bit of a loner and then like not having anything to do with the organization. And it seems like he has nothing to do with the Braves, unless I've missed something.
No, I kind of get it. I get it. I don't know. Some of that. I'm playing devil's advocate here, Josh, because I do kind of think you're probably right. But he does live in San Diego, I think, or does he live in Nevada now?
He probably lives in Vegas.
He lived in San Diego for a long time. And he's like super West Coast. So it's not like, hey, let me just pop back to this Braves thing, you know.
Yeah, I get that.
30 minutes away kind of thing, you know. But
throughout the years of all the events and the awards and the ceremonies and the Turner Field retiring like numbers and all these things, like, you just never saw Greg Maddux. It was weird. Yeah.
They probably didn't offer to pay him.
That might be it.
Yeah. Freddie Freeman, when he won the MVP, fellas, he made a little speech about how they need to remove Kennesaw Mountain Landis from the trophy and that they should rename it after Frank Robinson. While I don't have any problem with the Frank Robinson suggestion, I mean, that's kind of cool. Why do we care about renaming awards? I guess they said because Kennesaw Mountain Landis was like racist or something. But so was every white dude in 1920, at least as far as what they're calling racism, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't really understand wanting to rename an award that everyone's won for the last 100 years.
I think your initial reaction is understandable because of the insane cancellation of just names and statues and... I mean, we just went through a summer and we literally saw people defacing and knocking over like Abraham Lincoln and U.S. Grant statues in the name of racism. So I get that like our initial reaction to something Freddie said is like, come on, guy. But I got to be honest. I know I know a bit about Kennesaw Mountain Landis. I've read a lot about him. And he was a pretty staunch racist, and he was a huge reason why baseball was not integrated, actually. So, I kind of get it. I don't know who you would compare him to non-baseball wise, but I mean, he was
hard shot.
No, I mean, he was worse. He was rule. He was a racist. He was segregationist.
Bear Bryant.
That's probably pretty accurate. Yeah.
But I don't know. I kind of
stick that in your pipe and smoke it, John Howard. No, I honestly, I didn't even know that Kennesaw Mountain Landis's name was on the award until I got brought up. Like, no one knows those kind of things.
To be fair, I will say that we'd all be better off without Kennesaw.
True. Although Frank Robinson,
especially Barrett Park,
Frank Robinson is probably the most underappreciated, underrated baseball player of all time.
Do you know he's the only baseball player to ever win the MVP in the AL and the NL?
Yes. Mookie came close this year. But, I mean, look at his numbers, man. And Frank Robinson isn't thought of in the category of Hank Aaron and Willie Mays and Babe Ruth. But he is he's almost on that fourth level. That's how good Frank Robinson was. I have no problem with that, man. He's first. Yeah. Wasn't he the first black manager in baseball? I think he was still a player when that happened. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's incredible. Like for the time, you know. I don't care. Skin off my back if you want to change the name of the trophy. Who cares? I didn't even know Kennesaw Mountain Landis's name was on it. You could put
The only problem I have with it is like I. And again, I'm not defending Kennesaw Mountain Landis. I don't care, but I do think it's kind of like one of those things of just we always want to change tradition and whitewash everything. And how cool is it that some dude now, a black guy, wins an award that's named after some racist guy, and you're like, ha, ha, look how much we've changed, you know? Like, look how far this sport has come that, you know, your name is on my award. But I kind of get it after you guys say all that, but still,
yeah.
It's just weird. Just stop changing everything. I don't like change.
I get the sentiment, because anyway. I'm with you on, like, all that stuff. I totally am, but I guess, I don't know. I mean, Landis is, like, one of those things where, I mean, they've probably thought about changing it like 30 years ago because he was that bad of a dude.
Who cares? Call it the Pee Wee Herman MVP award. Who cares who's on it? It doesn't matter. I don't care.
It would be weird to call it the Pee Wee Herman MVP award.
You could show me a picture of Kennesaw Mountain Landis. I wouldn't even know who it was. It's a stupid name.
Yeah.
Who names their son Kennesaw Mountain?
Well, I mean, it is a mountain, right?
Like, I know, but you can't name your... What did they conceive him on Kennesaw Mountain? Is that
maybe
his name?
Maybe
I didn't name my daughter Pull Out Sofa Holton. That's ridiculous.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be rough too. Her name would be Pull Out. That would be like I don't know. It could be good for
ironic,
later on in life.
Really,
but
know.
You wouldn't have as many grandkids. But it's weird. But yeah, I guess we should change topics. As everyone takes a drink of beer. Fellas, the Atlanta Braves, Drew Smyly, has been signed for $11 million. I think he's only pitched about 21 healthy innings. Josh,
mm-hmm.
Explain to us any opinion about Drew Smyly other than the fact that he has a weird last name.
So if you look at his career, he hasn't really had a stellar low ERA, low whip year since like 2015. So from 2016, 17, 18, 19 were honestly like not good. But then you look back at 2015, you're like, oh, this guy's kind of got it. And then for about 5 years, he had kind of a hefty arsenal of four-seamer curve, change-up, and I think a splitter maybe. And then last year in 2019, he uses his changeup, like I want to say about 40 something percent of the time as his out pitch. And his numbers were just kind of crappy. And then you look at this year in 2020, he abandons the changeup like completely, literally no changeup, which is really weird. Cause you don't see that happen a lot with a guy. Sometimes you see that like with a guy who's like 37, 38 years old. And 1 year, you see him just leave out a pitch altogether. But he's 31, and so from 2019 to 2020, he goes from throwing his changeup in his entire career, along with his four-seamer curve, to like no changeup at all. And it looks like he did something with his curveball, and what that is way above my pay grade. But it looks like he just honed it on his curve and his four-seamer in 2020. And made his curve his primary out pitch. And even though his numbers were only from like 26 innings, which doesn't tell us a lot, obviously, right? The fact that you can kind of point to, oh, no changeup, and his outpitch is his curve, where his outpitch before was his changeup, that's a very significant change. Not sure why, but that's a huge change. I think that's why his numbers were really good this year. So I tweeted that, and then a little while later, DOB kind of confirmed that and said that Brave said that it was his curve and his four-seamer that really caught their interest. So it looks like his velocity went up a little bit, I think, on his four-seamer.
Ah.
And he just – he did something with his curveball. So
he's spent a week at Driveline. That's what it sounds like. That's like the magic
– Oh, really?
– recipe. I don't know if he did or not. Yeah, I'm just saying. That's maybe. Like the magic nowadays, it seems. You know, Josh Tomlin did that. And, yeah, he's got another one-year deal with the Atlanta Braves, too, for $1 million. I really do think the Josh Tomlin signing is one of those similar to what we have repeatedly said about, like, Nick Markakis-type signings, and that is that you're getting a player coach. You're getting a guy that goes in the bullpen out there, and he's able to help other guys be more successful because Tomlin knows how to help guys mentally. He knows how to help guys with their actual pitching stuff. And it wouldn't shock me when Tomlin retires to see him go into pitching coach type duties or something in that role, maybe even in the Atlanta Braves organization. I don't know. But I do think this was like a player coach type signing. And for $1 million, it's kind of a no lose situation. I mean, that's about the bottom rate just about for old veteran guys to come and be in the bullpen and have a spot. JT, you look like you are having deep thoughts about this.
No, not really. I love the Josh Tomlin signing because there's no bad one-year deals. You know, the money's nothing. And I'm this guy that told Kyle Wright, hey, pitch from the left side of the mound. And boom, all of a sudden, you know, notwithstanding his, you know, last
he gave up nine runs season, and two-thirds of an inning.
Yeah, but, you know, it took kind of changed Kyle Wright around a little bit. And you know, everybody seems to love him in the clubhouse. Seems like a good dude.
I guess that was the advice Folty gave him down at the reserve club, was how to give up nine runs in the first inning of a playoff game.
Hey, bro, eat more McNuggets. it'll totally help, man. And Smiley, I don't know a lot about Smiley. I was shocked by $11 million. Seems like a lot. Like, but maybe that's because I make a lot less than $11 million, so that just seems like a lot of money to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. We'll see. Whatever. I mean, our pitching rotation, I think Braves fans, like, I've seen people like boohoo in the signing. I think people really think the Braves are going to go out and, like, okay, we got Soroka, and we've got Max Fried, and we've got Ian Anderson. So all we need is like Trevor Bauer, and then like we can trade for like the reincarnation of Randy Johnson, and we'll be set. Like,
yeah.
It's not going to happen. Be realistic about this.
Especially when you're talking about Wilson, Wright, Davidson, Wyatt, right. All these other guys, Toussaint, all these other young guys that may or may not make it, but you know one of them is very likely to be a decent fourth guy in your rotation. I never thought they were going to go get a top-of-the-line pitcher. They could, and they might, but I don't see it. I think they go get hitting.
I would rather take Drew Smiley and maybe another veteran guy on if Cole Hamels can do it and wants to go, I'd take Cole Hamels on $3 million.
Yeah.
You know,
I'd take King Felix on $1 million deal if he still wants to try. You know?
Sure. I'd take both of them and then spend our resources keeping Marcelo Ozuna around.
Yeah. Speaking
I'd
of which,
much better with that.
News came out today that the Mets are apparently making a big push to try to get Marcelo Ozuna to a long-term contract with Steve Cohen's money backing them.
And this is where I switch gears and say Marcelo Ozuna was good for 2 months. That's it. Go ahead, Matt.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Fellas, the Marlins did hire. They're going to now be winning because they got Kim Ning to be their GM. She's the first female GM in the MLB, and congratulations to her. Unfortunately, fellas, this does mean one thing, and that is that the Marlins will no longer be any good And it's not because she's female, but because all of their OPS is going to take a giant hit because they're not driving anywhere with her in charge.
Is it a woman joke? Is it an Asian joke? Is it both? I don't know.
Oh man, no! Congratulations to her. In all seriousness,
my favorite part of this is when she calls somebody for a trade, and they say, "Well, what do you want in the deal?" And she says, "Oh, you don't have to get me anything. don't fall for it, other GMs. You have to give her something in the deal. We know how this
And now
works.
With COVID and like all these players' kids having to, you know, go to school remotely and stuff like that, like the parents have to help with homework and all these things. Like, how cool is this? Like, because she can now help these kids with their homework, you know?
What?
I don't know. I'm lost. What? I don't know where that joke was going.
She can help the kids with the homework. I get JT every now and then. Every now and then. And it makes my night.
Derek, is Derek Jeter like putting her in like a kitchen to work out of or something? Like, let's get all the silly misogynist jokes out while we can.
That's
right?
What I thought.
No, all jokes aside, dude, this lady seems derogatory. She's been in Major League Baseball for like 30 years.
Which, by the way, that's true.
This is
She has 8 World Series rings, I think.
Yeah, she's like she's a stone cold badass. Hire. Like, she's
Like, seriously.
She can run circles around us three dinguses. With baseball.
Yeah, I think some people saw this news and like, oh, way to be progressive, Marlins. Sign the minority woman to be your GM. Like, dude, no. Based on the resume test alone, like, she's legit. Like, she's put in the work. Yeah. She's been around since we were in diapers. She's been in front office. So awesome for her, man. That's cool.
I love how, so baseball Twitter, this is like the evolution of, how do you say your last name?
I don't know. Is
Ing.
It
Ing? I believe it's Ing. Ing.
The I've evolution of type. Kim Ing on Twitter was this. It was like the Marlins made the hire. Everybody. I mean, okay, we, Nakama Nation, had, I thought, a really cool reaction because, you know, Boggy was like, as a girl dad, this is awesome. And a lot of like really cool reactions, but like a lot of them were like, this is the greatest day of my life. This is amazing. We can be anything we want to be, yada, yada, yada. And then a couple of days later, there's people that are like, I never heard of her before. And then you saw people like dunking on those people. Like, imagine not knowing who Kim Ing was. She's been in baseball for, and like, nobody knew. Come on. Nobody knew who she was for the most part.
I grew up with a Kim Ing poster on my wall.
Like, I saw the John Boy guys just dunking on people for being misogynist because there's some little, you know, Twitter guy with like 37 followers is like, I've never heard of her, you know, and they're like, she was Brian Cashman's assistant GM from 98 to 2001. Ooh. Like, okay.
Yeah, most people don't
like,
keep a
I
list
like
of
John Boy, but
assistant
they,
GMs in their back pocket. Just like, were like,
I like John Boy and the guys, but they totally like masturbate to pictures of, you know, Hank Steinbrenner, you know, or George.
Which is like, tough to do. Give them credit. That's hard to do.
Hey, that's true.
I'll be honest. I did not know who she was. I had to Google her, and then I Googled her. No. I'm like, she's a badass. Totally a badass.
Yeah,
awesome.
I don't expect other people to know. Like, I don't expect Angels fans to like already have known who Perry Manasian was.
And then, if you tweeted, it seemed like if you tweeted, I've never heard of her. You were met with some sort of dunk or some sort of like, you just didn't know who she was because she's a woman. Okay, you idiots. Who is the Who is the assistant GM for the Padres from 97 to 2000?
You're not hiring a coach. You're hiring.
You don't
a
know
GM.
Who the assistant GM of the Padres was? You freaking idiot.
We didn't know who John Coppolella was when he got hired, and we only knew Alex Anthopoulos. Right. Because he was already a GM for Toronto. We had seen his name on ESPN before. That's the only reason. We didn't know who John Schuerholz was before he started. One knows.
That's my point.
Who GMs
That's
are.
My point. Yeah. Everybody wants to be so mad. Everybody wants to like be so like, you know, the world is misogynist. Like, no, it's not. Like, boys grow up,
John
more
Boy.
Boys grow up interested in baseball than girls. And that's okay. And so because of that, there's more men in baseball.
I would tell John Boy and the crew that there's you know, there's five teams in the Yankees division. Name me the GMs. No way you can do it. There's no way. Nobody knows. I know I'm a big baseball fan and I'm a big sports fan. I know like four GMs.
I don't even know the assistant GM of the Braves most years. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know.
So guys,
I think it's John Howard.
JT, let me ask you this. Is this the most progressive week in MLB history? Not only did we get Kim Ng, the first female Asian manager, but we also got Perry Min Asian. So we got two. Oh. We got a male Asian and
a
female
Asian.
And
a woman Asian.
Oh, right. Both hired as GMs around the world.
Big steps for baseball. Finally, they can get Kennesaw Mountain Landis off that trophy and replace it with Jackie Chan.
Jackie Chan. Yeah, there you go.
Also, I want to just make a clarification that she's not the first baseball GM because
I love
female
Bob Nightingale tweeted out that she was hired as the first GM in North American sports history. I'm like,
yeah, but she wasn't
heard
the first,
of like Red Auerbach.
She wasn't the first female baseball GM either because Brody Van Wagenen was the GM of the Mets from.
That's true. She's been fired now, though.
Yeah.
So.
But Brody Van Wagenen, during his entire tenure with the Mets, had his genitals duct taped between his legs.
Exactly. Ah. Yeah.
Most people don't know that. And that's the kind of information you get.
And if he identifies as female, that's okay. Fellas,
I don't care.
Tommy Lasorda reportedly in the hospital today.
Yeah, I saw that, man. Bummer. 93 years old, right?
Slim Fast overdose? What happened?
I don't know. I haven't.
It's got to be COVID.
He's commercials, Slim Fast commercials.
No, Tommy Lasorda, guys. Has there anyone better that you've seen sleep through a baseball game than Tommy Lasorda? Like, how many times have you seen video of Tommy Lasorda sitting, even in the past couple years, sitting at a Dodgers game on the
snoring
front row,
away.
Sound asleep? Like, I'm talking about, like, he's that dude in church that is snoring so loud that like somebody three rows behind him gets up and taps him on the shoulder to make sure he's still actually breathing okay. That's Tommy Lasorda at a Dodgers game.
I like Tommy. I hope he gets better. I hate that he's having health issues. Probably why the White Sox didn't hire him. They like old managers.
Yeah, they only like him drunk. It's okay. he didn't drink enough for them.
Tommy was a feisty guy back in the day too. Like, there's a lot of good Tommy Lasorda stories out there you have to look up. So I hope he kicks out of this. But again, 93, my goodness, I knew he was old. I knew he was that old. Wow.
He's gonna kick out of it one way or the other, JT. I'm not sure which. But if Tommy Lasorda was an active manager, how much would he get fined on a weekly basis in MLB now?
Oh, quite a lot.
I mean, do you think Tommy Lasorda would change with the times and would be like Brian Snicker and never really argue with umpires and get thrown out of games and that kind of stuff?
Snit argues. I mean, he's not.
Yeah, but he doesn't get thrown out. I mean, Snit, what, might have got thrown out three times this year, if that?
In 60 games? I mean, that's a pretty good ratio.
Nah. Bobby Cox in 60 games would have been thrown out at least 20 times.
Yeah, but how many of those were just because he knew he had to? He might not have even believed in his own argument. He was just, you know, at a certain point it became a thing that he did.
Tony La Russa gets stopped by the cops, fellas, back in February, and the reports say that he was saying, I'm a Hall of Famer! I'm a Hall of Famer! You can't do this to me! I'm the man! If you guys got stopped by the cops and you were a Hall of Famer, how would you handle it?
I probably wouldn't stop. Hall of Famer. What are you going to do?
I would go full on American sovereign citizen mode. I'd crack the window approximately 1 inch. And when the officer asked me what I was doing, I'd say, none of your effing business. And next question. And then I'd probably get arrested. I'd get my Ruger out of my glove box and put it on my passenger seat.
Makes the White Sox look even worse, right?
God, it does. And they knew about it before he was hired.
It's not like it. look, I mean, the White Sox could still make the playoffs next year, but it's just the fact that you obviously didn't go through your due diligence process finding the right guy for the job.
But
you
well, they
just
did.
Hired the guy you knew.
That's what makes it look even worse is that they did go through due diligence and just said, "Oh, this isn't really a big deal." They knew before they hired him that
I mean, from the hiring, from the interviewing process, it wasn't like they interviewed like 10 candidates and came away with Tony La Russa being number one. I don't mean due diligence in like a background check. I mean like of actually sitting down and saying, "Hey, we're going to hire the best man for the job."
Yeah,
because I got a hard time believing in 2020 Tony La Russa is the best guy out there.
Now I will say this, fellas, and I don't remember how much we talked about this last week, but I will say this. I really don't care that he got a DUI. Like, I don't care that he's had two DUIs,
especially
like,
back in February, guys. That was like that doesn't matter. February doesn't matter.
It's pre-COVID.
Right.
That has nothing to do with managing a baseball team. And to be honest, most managers are probably drunk anyway. So, like, maybe it more qualifies him. He can down it. He can stay a little tipsy, and the team just flows better. You know?
My biggest thing is Tony La Russa is, I would imagine, quite a millionaire. It's an Uber, dude. It's an Uber. It's like $8.
Right, like, yeah, I got no problem. Yeah. I got no problem with people being pissed at him. I just don't think getting a DUI should prevent you from getting a job. I don't
it's
think
not
that
a DUI.
Either.
No, I don't think a DUI should prevent you from getting a job. To me, it's just like, dude, you better. Like, yeah, you got a DUI. You got off lucky. What if you plowed into a family of four?
Sure,
that's my biggest thing. It's just don't be stupid because you're lucky that worst case it was DUI. And we've all done it. Well, Ken, maybe not you, but you know, me and Josh. And had too much before we drink. And we were young and dumb and stupid. And, you know, you don't think about those kind of things. But as you get older, you're like, you know, come on. Fork over the $7.50 now with an Uber. You don't have to pay, like, a cab was like $20. Now it's like $7. Come on, just get an Uber, dude. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but an Uber might rob you of your World Series rings that you're wearing.
Well, he's a Hall of Famer, brother. He's legit.
Yeah, legit.
I just love that he wears the ring, like, out and about, just, like, casual.
I think that's awesome. Like, if you were Bill Belichick, would you wear, like, all six rings all the time? Like, just anywhere, yes. Anywhere that's not, like, actual gonna play, do actual physical labor. Like, I'm wearing all six rings. Like, I don't know.
Absolutely.
Maybe on a chain.
Absolutely.
Maybe I just got me, like, a big chain and, like, all six hang around my neck or something. But, like, I'm...
I would grow an extra finger like Antonio Alfonseca and just have them all in one hand.
I got you.
That's what I would do.
You know, fellas, we talked about Drew Smyly, and I wanted to go back to him for just a minute because I had a question for you guys. Who is the one guy that after 21 good innings and a mediocre start before that, you said, heck yes, this is the guy I'm going to pay $11 million to be the guy. Like, who's the one guy that you guys, they maybe had a mediocre start to their career, but you were like, yes, give me this guy.
Like a guy,
wait,
like
wait,
a guy
wait, wait,
we
wait.
Believed
was it,
in
was
before
it
anybody else.
That's what they gave Drew Smyly, yeah.
Yeah.
That is a lot.
It's really not, but okay. I mean, it feels like a lot. It's a lot to me and you, but in baseball terms, I mean, that's pretty much what a mediocre mid-level pitcher costs.
That's crazy.
Robbie Ray was $8 million to Toronto. Would you want Robbie Ray or Drew Smyly?
I wanted Robbie Ray for years. Because
I know you did. You want Ray Ray's jukebox or Ray Ray's boom boom room.
Ray's
what
boom
was
boom
it
room.
You called it? There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jang-a-lang, jang-a-lang.
What's Ray's boom boom room?
Jang-a-lang, jang-a-lang.
What is Ray's Boom Boom Room, Josh? JT asked the question.
Hey, you got me some cornbread. Y'all never seen Life? One of the greatest movies of all time?
I've watched it. It was like 15 years ago when I watched
Eddie
it.
Murphy and Martin.
I only watch Christmas movies.
Oh my God. What is wrong with you dinguses?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
It's a great movie. It's a great movie. And in it, there's a little story about Ray's Boom Boom Room that you don't understand unless you've seen it. And should Robbie Ray ever come to Atlanta, there would be a bar, at least in my dreams, and the battery called Ray's Boom Boom Room. And in that bar, magic would happen.
Okay.
Like, for example, one of those mechanical bulls, disco ball. Yeah.
Wasn't that just Saturday Night Fever? I don't know. Maybe not. Can we go back? Because I feel like we missed an opportunity to talk about this last week, JT. And I feel like it is an important subject for Knock Home Nation to spend some time on. Because last week, we spent some time talking about Georgia getting beat by Florida, right? That was an unfortunate discussion, and we're not revisiting that. Speaking of which, JT Daniels will be starting the next game for Georgia. Yeah. Anyway, this feels super important, though, because we totally did not spend time talking about this. And shout out to Cousin Kent. Clemson got their butts handed to them by Notre Dame. And I just feel like it's really important because, yeah.
I mean, they got their butts handed to them. They lost in overtime. Notre Dame's good. Notre Dame's a good team. They got a lot of guys back from a good team last year, and it was good. It was a good game. Clemson, they'll play again in the ACC title game, and then that won't even matter because then they'll both get in the playoffs. Nothing matters. COVID has killed college football this year. It's ridiculous. I think the best team in the country might be a Wisconsin team that's played two games. No one knows anything. So.
But are we talking about the same Notre Dame team that only beat Louisville 12-7? You know, only beat Georgia Tech 31-13, and Boston College took them 31-45. For the record, Boston College is a really good football team that's had some terrible scheduling difficulties. They got to play Clemson and Notre Dame.
I think Boston College is cool. Like, I just like they're a college. It's like they're a community college playing amongst all these big boys. There's an actual Boston University, and these guys are Boston College.
Yeah.
And you think that's cool.
Okay.
Boston U is a hockey school.
You know. I just wanted to celebrate Clemson getting beat so that they can't be like 37-0 or whatever stupidity.
They lost in, you know.
I know.
Shut up, JT.
I like the quarterback's sucks. Name. DJ.
They got their asses whooped by Notre Dame. Screw Clemson and their stupid Dabo and his stupid little sideburn thing that it's just like straight across from the ear to hear. You know what I mean? Like,
you know they're gonna. Place? You know they're just gonna claim it's because Trevor was sick, right? Like,
but DJ Uiagalelei is a really good quarterback too.
Yeah, but they're going to claim that. I'm sure that's what Cousin Kent is claiming. And Cousin Kent, if you mention it, will just say Florida. That's all he's going to say, Florida. But
I'm calling
Cousin Kent. It doesn't matter. I don't want you to call him.
He was sick, but still on the sidelines because science.
Yeah, true. Mask, they protect.
Oh, did Trevor survive it? Because I was tweeting about how I thought he was going to survive it when he got it. Did he survive?
It turns out he did.
He defied the odds and lived because he's not 95 years old.
Man, that's incredible.
It was close, though. We were worried about him there for a minute, you know, those 30 seconds. No, I really wasn't. I was never worried about it. Anyway, fellas, that's going to do it for today's episode of the Knockahoma Nation podcast show. Tune in later this week as Josh and JT and Ken bring you a special new episode of the Knockahoma Nation podcast show. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned. Enjoy. That's going to do it. Fellas, hey, for the record, it's postseason. It's offseason. It's not postseason. It's post-postseason. It's offseason. So cut us a little slack if we sound a little tired or working.
Wait,
or whatever.
Time out. We didn't even mention one thing that happened.
What's that?
How about someone in Georgia winning a championship? Congratulations to Dawsonville's own Chase Elliott for winning the NASCAR championship. We got to throw
awesome
that out
Bill
there.
From Dawsonville's.
That was awesome.
He
awesome
drove,
Bill, did you see the Dawsonville?
Yeah, he drove his car.
Awesome Chase.
He
from
drove
the
his
same
car
place.
Down the main drag.
Incredible.
That's right to the Dawsonville pool room, right there in downtown Dawsonville, about 2 hours away from me here. Awesome stuff, man. Like I've been out of NASCAR, but that might be enough to pull me back in if I can figure out what the heck's going on with like how they do points and stages and all that crap.
I like Jimmy Johnson going to Formula One. That sounds, I might actually watch a little bit of Formula One.
I've never watched a Formula One race before, but I might watch that. That's interesting. Yeah,
I like Formula One. Formula One is like soccer. Seriously, like we started with soccer, it comes back.
Yeah, it's
you
it's
have to watch
racing,
it.
Yeah.
It's overseas, but you
football,
have to watch
Ken.
A lot of it.
Football.
Okay, you're right. We're going back to football. It is a overseas version of NASCAR, except you have to watch a lot of it to really understand what's happening. it's not like NASCAR where you can like kind of just figure it out just by watching exactly what's happening. Like, there's a lot that goes into F1 racing, and like it's far more complicated in some ways than NASCAR. In some ways it's not, but in some ways it's far more complicated. And for me, like, just watching it, it's kind of boring because TV doesn't do a very good job of letting you feel what's
TV
happening.
TV can really kill. Like, have you ever tried to watch, like, the Indy 500 on TV?
Oh, it's,
like,
it's
a bucket list event to go to for me, like, to attend, like, Kentucky Derby, sure. Indy 500. It's one of those things. But watching on TV,
it's
a bad television product. Yeah, it's rough. It's
like, hard to do. Some of these F1 tracks go through the middle of giant cities overseas. Yeah. And so, like, TV doesn't do a good job of, first of all, showing you how large the scope of the track is. Like, you don't realize, wow, they're literally, like, racing around Atlanta. Like, around the city of Atlanta in a way. Like, that's kind of, like, the way, it's like they drew a track through downtown Atlanta, and it goes around the World Congress Center, and it cuts this way, and, you know, there's where the Omni used to be, you know, and all this kind of stuff. The other thing TV does a terrible job with F1 and that style racing is showing height variation and how a track goes up and down.
Yeah.
Because some of those tracks drop, like, I'm talking like 300 feet in 300 feet. Like, it's seriously like driving straight downhill. And I'm like, how in the world are they staying? How are they driving 200 miles an hour and not flying? You know, like, when you drop off of something like that, it's crazy stuff. And so I still don't know enough about it, but I enjoy watching F1 way more now than I did as a kid, because I understand a little more about it. But
by the way, what happened to all the Bubba Wallace fans?
Well, I guess they kind of I think they got hung up. On something. I don't know. Anyway, I mean,
wow,
guys, this does feel like the fifth. I feel like I'm preaching a sermon and I'm on my fifth ending, but this is the fifth ending. Congrats to DJ. On winning the Masters.
Oh, yeah. The Masters happened.
He didn't just sort of win. Yeah. He, like, destroyed the field. Like, wasn't even close.
Like five strokes ahead of you know, in front of no patrons is one of the biggest sports feats I've ever seen, to be honest with you. Incredible.
I've been five strokes ahead of most people my entire life. That's the story of me. That's going to do it for today's Not Combination Podcast show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit NakahomaNation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.
It did seem a little asterisk worthy.